You're the only world I know. You're the one I can't let go. You're my laughter and my tears. And I love you all my years. You're the beating of my heart. You're my thoughts when we're apart. You're the one I can't let go. You're the only, only world I know. Ooh.
Farmer. But he was not done. He looked down on the wilds of his untamed earth and said, I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name, and no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked, and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots into kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of a cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. R.A.T. right now. And I love it. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 26th of July, and it's a Tuesday. We were supposed to talk about some things last night that we didn't, so we might get to that here in a little bit, but glad everybody showed up. Let me go check the chat room here and see what kind of folks we got in there. Peanut Rider, Mini, Doc. Let's see here. Looks like sparse class. Chat room a little sparse this morning. Charlie Brown's in there. Hopper, Anonymous. I imagine there'll be some more filtering in here in a little bit. Okay, we talked Thursday about the everyday carry and went kind of in depth with that stuff. So, and I told you Monday we were going to go through some of the rest of it. So we forgot all. We didn't forget. It's on the list right here. We had so many things, and there's a few things we're going to talk about tonight, but we're going to get to that. Don't forget our new schedule change coming up first of the month, which is next Monday, this week from yesterday. We'll have 2 hours on Monday. Amy will be on Monday at her regular time. I will be on at my regular time. We're just going to go an hour later. Tuesday, taking a day off. Wednesday, 2 hours, regular time until 2 hours later. And Friday, I'm going to take Amy's original 1 hour spot and the regular Liberty Lounge. So we'll have an hour of news and whatever else we need to get taken care of. And then Liberty Lounge will go on as scheduled. Nothing's going to change in the second 2 hours from 8 to 10 Pacific time with Liberty Lounge. So that's what we got coming up here. So let's see, what do we got? Kind of look at this little deal here. Oh, yeah, that's no kidding. Hopper, that's exactly right. I can't believe some of the stuff I'm seeing here. I'm just going to go through some of these kind of quickly. It looks like in Afghanistan, they say a pound of brass is worth about 80 Afghani, or about $1.16, which is a decent amount of money for those folks. So what they're doing is they're wasting ammo by the tens of thousands of rounds so that they can go sell the brass. And the problem with that is a lot of the ammo is U.S. supplied. It would look to me like the ammo would bring more money than the brass. I don't know why they just don't sell the ammo. I'm sure they could sell it on the black market there somewhere. But anyway, that's where some more of your tax money's going. And like I said, I'm going to try to get as many of these done as we can. The Democrat, you know, have I ever told you on here how much I despise the average Democrat? There are a few good ones out there, I'm sure. Matter of fact, I've met a couple. But of all the hundreds of thousands of them that there are, they are misguided, misled, and misinformed. In Philadelphia, at this Democratic National Convention, they closed off, you know, they had the little thing, made the big deal out of the truck that killed however many people it was. Where was that, in France or whatever, the other day? Well, they closed off I-95 to truck traffic. Anything over, 10 tons or something like that, a medium-sized truck, anything heavier than that,
closed it off just because the highway comes within 600 feet of where the convention's going to be. And a good thing about this is they had a whole bunch of people that ignored, truck drivers, that ignored this and just kept right on keeping on, just like they normally do. This saves them from paying a $300 toll by making them go around. So they, Charlie Brown, that's a pretty good price for what we've seen there. That's good going. So these a lot of these truck drivers said, we will not comply, and just went right on down I-95 the way they normally do. Good for them. I'm glad to see that. Can you believe that those people worried about a truck driving in there? I mean, God bless them if that's what they decided to do. But and the other thing they did, now these are Democrats, you got to remember, they built an 8-foot tall fence 4 miles long all the way around this convention center. And I'm not sure what they were hoping to prevent, but the Republicans in Virginia, there was open carry, people, there were guns all over the damn place. You know, not nary person got shot. Not a one. I wonder why that is. To what Charlie Brown boy told you he'd sold all his guns, said he didn't need me. I'm like, So the between the fence and the truck, right, it appears to me that these people are exceedingly afraid of something. In New Jersey, an actor in New Jersey takes a plea deal on a gun charge. Can you believe that? You know what the gun charge is about? Faces 30 years in prison for having a BB gun while filming a movie last year. He stood in the fifth floor hallway of the Middlesex County courthouse Wednesday afternoon, anxious and agitated, intensely debating his attorney and himself whether to take a plea deal of probation or to opt for trial and risk potentially 15 or even 30 years in prison. That's a no-brainer. I would have had to have risked it. A BB gun, not a firearm. I don't get it. This guy's stage name is Carlo Bellario. I've never heard of him. Some of y'all might have. He's an actor and comedian charged with weapons possession for having a BB gun while filming a movie in Woodbridge last year. Firmly said he planned to reject the deal from the county and let the jury decide his fate. Good for him. God bless him. I hope that this goes well for him. We got to try to keep an eye on this. At the preliminary hearing in March, he didn't waver in rejecting the prosecution's plea offer of 3 years in prison. But on Thursday, after being continually reminded by his attorney of the risk of rejecting the plea, he finally acquiesced and agreed to plead guilty to a charge of creating false public alarm. You know, that could be any movie, any Chuck Norris, any Rambo movie, whatever, up there, in creating false public alarm. He said, his lawyer said, you know what's a nightmare? Maximum security prison for 15. Maximum security for having a BB gun, please. Jeez. He said, I don't even know if I have 15 years left. He slowly moved about the hallway in a walker that he needs after a recent surgery to move a tumor from his leg. Lawyer found out later that if he had opted for trial, he potentially faced 30 years due to his past record, which includes 6 prior convictions in 2 states. Well, that changes things a little bit. Well, anyway, that's... All right, we can let the rest of this go for right now. You remember that sign we talked about here? It's been quite a while ago, back probably even during my AM radio days. Probably not too many people listening right now would remember that. But we talked about a sign company in Texas that built the neatest decal that went on the tailgate of a truck. And when you're driving behind the truck, you look at it from the rear, it looks like there's no tailgate on it at all. And if there's a girl blindfolded and gagged and tied up, laying up against the back of the cab there, and it so made people so mad, so scared, so angry, so they called the cops, called 911, everybody bitched, complained, and moaned, and oh my goodness. So they took the decal off the truck, tore it up, threw it away, and paid some, $25,000 to some, I don't know what it was, victim advocate thing, rape prevention center or something. I don't know what it was. And apologize. Come on. It was a sign. It wasn't making fun. It was funny. It was hilarious. That's just all I got to say about that. That just drives me nuts. Every once in a while, you guys need to go over your list. You can go, you can easily find the list of the anti-gun companies and celebrities and movie stars and whatnot on my blog. Go to the shootingbench.info. And one of the pages up at the top there is the NRA's list. It's pretty up to date. If there's an update, it's not very old. So anyway, it doesn't hurt to check there once in a while and see, see where your money's going. Things that you buy, whether it's your, everyday ordinary clothing that you've been wearing for years, or certain movies that you go to, books that you read, beverages that you drink. There's just so many things. Check it out. Make a life change if you need to. And don't do business with these people. Your business alone is not going to make any difference to them. It'll make you feel better, but it's not going to make any difference to them. But if we get, if you talk to your friends and they talk to their friends and word gets out, they still may not notice it financially. But if they get enough of this going around on the chat rooms and blogs and forums and Facebook and emails and stuff, where they realize, there's a lot of damn people out there that don't like what we're doing. Are we going to stick with our guns and do we do this just for a political stunt, more or less, just to appease certain people, or do we really believe that in our heart? Do we need to back off that a little bit and see what we need to do? And I think it could be done. Like I said, I doubt if there's enough of us that's really going to make a difference in their bottom line. But it makes a difference to you. It makes a difference to me. I am glad to do my part, to tell you the truth. I have a hard time swallowing I don't mean that figuratively, but when I go to a restaurant or drink certain beverages or whatever the case may be, and it's like I said before, I don't know, probably a year ago or a few months ago anyway, there's going to come a time at some point when we're just, it's going to be virtually impossible to not spend money with some of these people that we are trying to injure financially. So don't know, that's just my two cents worth. Before we get into this gear thing, I want to go over here and check real quick and see what's going on in the chat room. And let's see here. Doc and I got to get together here. We've got a good topic we're going to share with you guys here before too long. I'm not sure when it's going to be. We might get to it this week. I'm not sure. Doc, I'll try to get hold of you tomorrow. If we don't make it this week, it's probably going to be 2 weeks after that. So, but I'll give you a holler and we'll see when it's convenient for you and when I can do it and everything. So, you know, Doc, I understand what you're saying. To take a misdemeanor instead of a felony is a no-brainer. Yes and no. If you're guaranteed to get the felony, then yeah, probably so. But if there's a chance you're going to get the felony, a chance you're going to get the misdemeanor, or a chance if you play your cards right, get a good lawyer, that you're going to get off completely, you know, I'll tell you somebody right now, you offer Anthony Bosworth a misdemeanor or a felony, if he thinks he's right, he's not going to take either. He's going to tell you to go to hell. And he's going to, if he thinks he's right, he's going to fight it. I can absolutely, absolutely guarantee that. And there's just not a lot of people, not enough people out there like that, that are willing to sacrifice, to take that risk. You know what I mean? So, okay. Well, we've got our constitutional sheriff candidate right here. We have some stunning news coming out on him hopefully tomorrow. And I can't share it with you right this minute, but boy, as soon as I get the go-ahead, we'll be all over that. I think you guys will be very pleased. And for those of you in Navajo County, Arizona, this will be an eye-opener for you. Yeah. So as soon as we get the go-ahead on that, got a couple other things got to be taken care of, and then we'll share that with you. All right. Now, in the last Thursday, we talked quite extensively about your everyday carry and about an everyday carry plus, you know, kind of an extended version of that. And we're going to spend some time tonight, because I don't want this to I don't want you to completely forget about everything we talked about last week. And while the hopefully there's still some interest in it, it seemed like there was quite a bit of interest here the other night. So, and before we get into this, I've got as I told you last night, I finally have the community emergency response and preparedness training manual is finished, and it's up on our podcast site at tsb.podbean.com. It is my first premium content that I've put up there, meaning you have to pay for it if you want it. The books are, well, they're ready, they're finished. I'm looking at one laying on the table right here right now, but we're waiting for them to be bound. We're waiting for the spiral binding in them and everything, and that may be 3 or 4 weeks. So when that gets done, they'll be available. They're going to be $12.95. If you want to order one now and get them, get your order in on the list there, I'll give you free shipping on it. They're $12.95, and that'll be your total cost. They're available right now on southwestshootingauthority.com on the online store. And but if you want to save $3, and you can read it on your on your phone or computer or whatever, you can go to the podcast site and get it for $10. Download it, print it, whatever you want to do with it, and it's yours. So that's what we got going on there. And so far, some of the people that have purchased this already. I was a little concerned because I never have done anything like that. And people say, well, why do you get charged that? It didn't cost you anything to put on there. Well, it did cost me something. You know how much time I got into this? I put lots and lots of time into the knowledge itself to start with, and then putting this book together and everything is not something that I have excess time to do just for out of the goodness of my heart. So I'm trying to get a little bit back out of that effort. So anyway, so let's for right now, we done messed around here for cotton picking long, that it's time for us to take a little break. So I'll be back here in just a minute, and we'll get on with this whole gear deal here.
When I looked up, she was standing there. Pretty long, black, shiny hair. And I heard her say, do you need a little company? But in that old bar, the lights were dim, and I'll bet she didn't notice them. Two old faithful friends right here with me. I've got red wine and blue memories and a heartache. Won't set me free. I've got lots of time for drinking, lots more time for thinking. I've got red wine and blue memories. Then she turned and walked away. Shook her head as if to say, man, you missed a real good time with me. Oh, but I just poured another glass, toasted someone from the past, some old but not forgotten memory. Got red wine, blue memories and a heartache that won't set me free. I've got lots of time for drinking, lots more time for thinking. I've got red.
Remember me? This is Amy. If you haven't noticed, I've taken a short hiatus from my show. I'll be back on a steady schedule in the early fall, though. As for now, I'll be on Monday evenings only at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. I won't forget about you, so please don't forget about me.
Where you going? Don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
Let me tell you,
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. We're gonna get into this gear list here in just a second here. Let's see. All right, that's good enough. Trying to get some other stuff situated here. I'm trying to make the best of my time. All right, there we go. All right, let's get on with it. We know what we talked about last week. We talked about the urban carry, I guess it would be. Mostly, you know, civilian clothes in a relatively benign environment. Just being careful and being ready for anything that could happen. Now, there's five levels of gear. Like I said, this can be, it's anybody's interpretation, however you want to do it. If you want there to be two levels, this is entirely up to you. This is just some suggestions of things to do. So, this could be used in a hostile environment or potentially hostile field operations or that related training. And they're based strictly on our mission, your mission, anybody's mission, whatever you're doing. That's how you figure out your gear. Don't get gear lined up because somebody else says it's what you need. Pick what you need. Take some suggestions. You know, you can take some suggestions off. This isn't necessarily what we do. But it's some suggestions of things that we've learned over the years that seem to work pretty well. So, in our estimation of the things that we do here, there is something that we consider like a field everyday carry. It would be like your everyday carry dressed in civilian clothes out on the street, like you're going to work or going to Walmart, except this is out in the field. Difference is, you're out in the field. You have a few different things to take because there's a little different mission. So this would be something that you'd have with you at all times around camp. This is something that you would have you know what, this is, I think we talked about field everyday carry last week. We did. I stopped my deal too quick here. Okay, yeah, we ended up, I'll go over this just real quick for those of you that may have missed it. Now, your field everyday carry, remember, is something that you have on you around camp all the time. It means your rifle is probably secured, locked up, or being guarded. This is what you have while you're gathering firewood, cooking, digging latrines, doing whatever it is that you need to do and have on you for just everyday tasks. And that would be a handgun with at least two magazines, earplugs, sunglasses, wristwatch, flexicuffs, a little bit of cash and change. Your knife would be a tactical folder, a medium fixed blade of some kind, something a little heavier duty than what you wear out on the street for your pocket knife, probably. Multi-tool, a good flashlight, a small key fob or pin-style red flashlight, something to build fire with, a magnesium fire starter or a disposable lighter or both, and your smartphone and a Ziploc bag to protect it. And rifle and one spare magazine only, you know, that would be mission-oriented only, not something you carry around camp with you all the time. So we were talking about the different lines of gear after that. And so your field everyday carry is your first and most basic of five line. Now you can have two, you can have six, you can have nine, four, whatever you think you need. This is just some suggestions here. So your first line gear is something that would be basically your required uniform for a lot of your field operations, but not really something that would sustain you for very long, just a few hours maybe. It's not an overnight deal or something, but this is the minimum that you'd want to carry with you. This is a something you carry in a vest or a small backpack or each both. And in your first line gear, you would have your entire field everyday carry. All the stuff that you had in the last line will be in this one. A canteen or hydration bladder of some kind. A pill bottle or a 35 millimeter film canister with cotton balls soaked with Vaseline or something along those lines. Something that will help you get a fire started quick and easy. 20 or 25 feet of paracord, compact binoculars. I prefer 10 by 25s. I've got some 12 by 25s that's probably a little bit more powerful than I really need, but they work okay. Dual band radio with throat mic, light gloves, some type of a snack. Remember, you're not planning on spending the night with this. You could if you had to. A trauma kit. And your trauma kit would be your H bandage or an Israeli bandage, latex gloves, tourniquet of some kind, a cat or a rat's tourniquet. Cat and rats, that's kind of funny. A single-use container of superglue gel, compressed gauze, 3 or 4 feet of duct tape wrapped around a couple of popsicle sticks or tongue depressors, wound seal of some kind. Goodness, I don't know what's going on here tonight. Some kind of blood stopper, quick clot or something like that. Quick clot gauze is probably one of the best ones out there. There's several out there now. Quick clot doesn't have a monopoly over it anymore. Decent quality compass, a map of your area, and rifle and two spare magazines at a minimum. Now, if the truth were known, I think we may have gone through our first line gear last week too. So now I know for a fact we did not go through our second line gear. Your second line gear is your patrol gear. Now, whether you're talking militia or your community, you've got a bunch of preppers together out in a camp, you're practicing, you're training, you're enjoying yourself, but you're not completely comfortable with being completely unaware, unguarded, so you have one or two guys that are going around the camp or out in an established perimeter. It doesn't have to be, like I said, it doesn't have to be militia. It can be any activity that you're doing. So your second line gear is your patrol gear, whatever you may be doing. So you should have enough to conduct these patrol operations in a hostile or potentially hostile environment for at least 24 hours. Your second line gear can be carried in a any whatever is convenient for you. You don't have to get too crazy about sticking to a particular way to carry it. Do what works for you. It could be in a load-bearing vest of some kind, your LBE like we had back in the from World War One up until probably the first Iraqi invasion or somewhere in that area is when we started using vests a whole lot more, I think. Or a backpack, butt pack, any combination of those, as long as it doesn't interfere with your weapons operation or with travel or, it's not noisy, doesn't rub sores on you, whatever. You can figure that out. Your second line gear will be all of your field everyday carry and your first line gear. Yes, and in addition to that, your battle rifle now is not going to be mission oriented. It is part of it. It's non-negotiable. And you have a combat load of 180 to 240 rounds loaded in magazines, ready to go, or stripper clips, or whatever type of rifle you have. You need a minimum of a 3-liter hydration bladder, and also a 1-quart canteen with cover on your belt. Now, the reason I insist on this is because you may you may get to a stream somewhere. You can't fill a camelback up in a running stream or a pond or anything else. I mean, you can get a little bit in there, but you can't get it full. So that canteen, if you have a, you actually should have your canteen in a cup, on a in a cover on it. You can take the canteen and or your cup and fill your camelback. Or, and probably more importantly, is you can leave that quart canteen with somebody that's injured, wounded some way, or give an extra one to somebody who is going to, let's say, a short patrol that's going away from the main body to do whatever, whether it's to get somebody's attention or a raid on something or whatever the case may be, to check over yonder hill for a lake or firewood or smoke from a campfire, whatever the case may be. You want to give a little extra water to somebody. So there's a number of reasons why I think carrying an extra quart is a even two wouldn't hurt anything, depending on your environment. Now, here's where we're going to get a little bit more involved with your first aid. This would be something like an IFAC, your individual first aid kit, or something that equivalent. There's IFACs that you can buy out there already put together. Some of them are a little bit pricey. Some of them are okay. Not too hard to build something yourself. You can put various Band-Aids in it. Don't get carried away with Band-Aids. Mostly what we're looking for is being able to stop things that would affect the mission. And, you know, a little boo-boo on your knuckle is probably not going to stop me. So you don't want to get too carried away, but it doesn't hurt to have, you know, four, five, six Band-Aids of various sizes. Butterfly closures. If you happen to get a pretty good cut and you have time to wash it out with colloidal silver and pull it together, super glue it, and put some butterfly closures to keep the pressure off of the super glue, it works. I have a scar on my left arm right here, right below my elbow, to prove it. So that's not a bad thing to carry, you know, half a dozen or ten of those along in your IFAC with you. A large compress, a gauze compress of some kind, some type of topical ointment that can be Neosporin or some little single-use container of something, even Vaseline by itself works for most applications. A little bit of hydrocortisone. You get into poison ivy or something like that, it's not a bad idea to have a little bit of this. Super glue, always get the gel, not the liquid. They have some really neato little single-use containers of super glue. There's also a, I think they call it Vet Bond or something like that. I forgot what it is, but it's available at most of your veterinary clinics and animal stores. I can't think what the word I'm looking for. But, you know, the sutures that they have, most of their medicines, their penicillin and stuff like that, it's not a damn bit different than what you get from the doctor, except it's about 90% cheaper. So don't be afraid to go into your local, you know, cow ranch or somewhere, a tractor supply or something, and get some of this stuff for your personal kit. Tweezers, a little razor blade, a suture kit. Sutures are it's not something you want to get into unless you absolutely have to, unless you had at least a minimal amount of training in this. You want to be careful and not sew up a bunch of debris inside there if you don't have the proper means to clean out a wound or something. Yeah, there may be some times in a dire emergency for short periods of time if you have to pull it together and be able to get to the rear or get somewhere where there's help soon. Maybe you could do that, but ideally, you could probably pull it together, wrap it tight, and if you're going to be within, somewhere where there's help soon. Suturing is not something you just, pull the meat together and sew it up like you're sewing a tear in your blue jeans or something. It's not terribly scientific, but there's a few little things that you should probably know before you do that. Some type of disinfectant, betadine, methylate, iodine. I don't even know if they make methylate anymore. Something like that, or colloidal silver would work for that. A small roll of gauze, adhesive tape, a little small squirt bottle of eyewash. This eyewash can be not only for cleaning your eyes in rescue operations and stuff where there's a lot of dust or somebody gets something in your eye, you're trying to wash it out, but also for irrigation of minor wounds. You know, you're looking at getting this stitching in there. Your eyewash is nothing but a light saline solution. There's no reason whatsoever that you cannot irrigate a small wound out with a little squirt bottle of eyewash and get it cleaned up good before you pull it together and super glue it or suture it or whatever you're going to do. A small bottle of Motrin or Advil, that doesn't mean aspirin or Excedrin or whatever. It means Motrin or Advil. These are anti-inflammatories, and they're good, strong over-the-counter pain relievers and stuff. And those are probably the best. Now, that's not to say you can't have some extra, you know, of something else for different applications, but Motrin or Advil is what we want first off. And Benadryl tablets. Now, you want to be aware of all of these things, of any allergies or side effects or something that may be associated with them with you or somebody that you're going to give them to. A small plastic bottle of colloidal silver. Now, your colloidal silver can also be used for irrigation. A little 2-ounce bottle is a great thing to have. Not only can you irrigate wounds, put on different types of ailments and stuff, but also it is something you can purify water with. Purify water in 6 minutes with it. Goggles or good wraparound glasses. You might want an additional little deal of colloidal silver outside of your first aid kit in one of your... You probably don't want to use what's in your first aid kit for purifying water and other stuff unless it's an absolute emergency. So it wouldn't hurt to have a little bit outside of that kit somewhere else in your pack. But that's a kind of a personal preference thing. Poncho, preferably camouflage with a liner, depending on the time of year. Season-appropriate clothing. Remember, you're only going out. This is a 24-hour deal, so the most important thing to have in there is socks. Everything else is optional. If you want to carry it, that's up to you. Sweater or field jacket, depending on weather, climate. A knife. Now, this one you might want to get, since we are going to be gone a little longer, now we probably want to worry about having a sharpener and something a little bit heavier duty than the other knife we have in our first line gear. We're going to have it too, but you might want something more like the big full-size K-bar or something like that. For heavier duty work and some camo paint of some kind, a little compact that like bow hunters use. Those are great. They work really well. They're flat, light, either three to five colors, a small mirror in there, and you can camo yourself up pretty handily and touch it up if you need to. Them damn paints, camo paint sticks are, you know, in cold weather they get hard as hell, and you can't deal with it very well. They've got better stuff now, obviously, than they had when I was in. But these little compacts that you get for bow hunters and stuff, those are great. A D-type carabiner, a locking carabiner, 10 to 12 foot of snare wire, or trip wire, heavy monofilament would work good in a heavy fishing line. A couple of chem lights. Now, depending on what you're planning on, you might want, if you want those to put out light that you can see to mark a trail or something, then you'd probably want to get yellow. There's some that are almost white or a bright green where you can see a little better. Or you may want to put a red one out there, cover most of it up where you can just see a dot of it to mark a trail and keep it discreet, something like that. GPS, full-size binoculars, something like 10 by 50s, somewhere along those lines. Even 8 by... well, 8... I like something a little better than 8. 8's okay. 8 by... what is it? 8 by... 8 by 45s, or maybe it's 8 by 50s. I'm not sure. But I like a 10-power binocular pretty well for this particular application. You want enough food for 2 days? This is something you do not have to cook, something non-perishable. Again, survival tabs takes up the slack here. If you want to throw in an MRE so you got something to chew on, fill your belly, and to top it off with a couple of survival tabs, that really, really cuts down on the weight and the room in your pack. I would add an additional 20 to 25 feet of 550 cord, paracord. A small thing of insect repellent, depending on where you're at. You know, in some places, they don't seem to bother me near as bad as they do some people, so that's entirely up to you. Not a bad idea to have a utility strap, a little 1-inch wide utility strap. You can get those that are 10 or 12 feet long. That can be used for securing somebody on a travois if they're injured, or you know, a number of things to not the ratchet type straps, just the ones that have the little steel buckle. It's kind of like a belt that you can just suck up good and tight. And the last thing on here is some type of night vision goggle or monocular scope of some kind. Strongly recommend some night vision. I know you're getting into some money there to do something like that, but I think it's critical to have something like that, or have a little bit of night vision capability of some kind. Doesn't have to be real fancy. Obviously, the better it is, the better it is. The more advantage that you have. But that's certainly your choice. I just strongly recommend that. All right, I'm going to go over here to the chat room real quick and see if there's anything going on. I haven't been able to check over here because I've been reading my stuff here. And it looks like, here it comes. Looks like my chat room's having a hard time getting going here today. All right, let's see. The mini, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. If you need to, yeah, a small cart or a little deal like that to go on a good-sized goat or an alpaca or something like that, a llama even, not a bad choice for people that can't really physically unable to do some of this stuff. Then sure, that's not even a big dog. There are thousands of well-trained dogs out there that can carry a little bit of stuff for you. So. I know Doc's got some experience back long before the camel. The camelback is a tremendous benefit to the soldier right now. For ease of carry and comfort and being able to carry, you know, not having to carry cylindrical containers of some kind, bottles, cans, thermos bottles, whatever the case may be. I am a firm believer. If I had the ability to, you know, insist that you get a camelback, I would. It's a no-brainer. You should do it regardless. Charlie Brown, you're absolutely right about people rinsing out wounds with urine. That is perfectly acceptable. You've got a little bit of pressure there to do it with. And the only problem with that is, you know, your urine is sterile to you. If you have any type of urinary tract disease or something, you can wash your wounds out, and that's fine. But somebody else, maybe, maybe not. But in an emergency, absolutely. Urine, with the exception of some ailment or disease that the urine donor may have, it is sterile and you can use it for washing out a wound. Absolutely. Matter of fact, in all Southeast Asia and places where they have cobras and whatnot, some of the natives there, as soon as a cobra spits his venom in somebody's eyes, they get them down, and doesn't sound very appetizing, but they pee in their face, pee in their eyes, get it washed out. And it has it saved the sight of lots and lots of people. So you just have to get past the thought of it, and you know, put on your big kid panties and deal with it. So it's not a new concept at all. People have been doing it literally for centuries. Many men pin. I'm not sure if they have camelback with a filter on them or not. It would be a little bit difficult for it to be a very good filter because of the... if it's a very good filter, it's not going to gravity flow through it very well. But it's not at all unreasonable to have, maybe in lieu of your one-quart canteen, get a Berkey sport bottle or something along those lines with a ceramic filter in it. And you could, if you needed to in a hurry, you could get the water in your camelback and then put the water in your Berkey sport bottle and drink out of it, which is filtered. And that's a possibility. Life straw, finally, I think they've got... No, many men pin it doesn't. The sex of the urine donor doesn't make any difference. Life straws, I think, have solved some of the minor problems they had in the early days, which was they weren't as effective against tuberculosis and Giardia. From what I understand, and some of that may have been rumor, but I've done a little research on them within the last year, and it seems like all that's cleared up, so not to worry. All right, well, tomorrow we'll get into, got a few gun things we need to talk about. We'll also get into our third and fourth line gear. And hopefully y'all are finding this interesting enough to come back and join us tomorrow. So, all right, let's see. Let me find a deal here. This one right here will work. All right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow is Wednesday. We'll finish this week as normal. I will be here Friday, and Monday we've got our new schedule starting, so hopefully I'll be able to finish this week as normal. So there you go. All right, guys, good night. Appreciate you being with me. Been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio. Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
Spend some time in San Francisco. And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Bakers.